because you can handle the truth.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, December 13th, 2018. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We have got lots and lots of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, and observations. So let's get right on into it. Right now, the House hearing on the Clinton Foundation is taking place. And as you know, the gentleman who was supposed to be there, Huber, canceled with no explanation. And so it's focusing on Tom Fitton and various other compliance lawyers. And watching what's going on here, the Democrats are desperate to shift the focus to Trump and Whitaker Foundations. And there are things, well, you know, I mean, the Clintons are out of office. This is old news, really. Why are we even bothering? It's not like it's a current event, but, you know, Trump is president and we should be looking into the Trump Foundation here. And another one of the arguments the Democrats keep putting forward is, well, if the IRS and the FBI didn't do anything, then doesn't that sort of prove the Clintons did nothing wrong? And one of the Democrats actually came out and said, you know, when I get donations for my campaigns, the people who are rating me those checks, they do expect something back. There is a quid pro quo. So what's the big deal about the Clinton Foundation doing exactly the same thing? Well, we're not talking about donations to a political campaign. And Secretary of State is not an elected office, and it is illegal. Now, they're trying to get the Uranium One deal in there, but the Democrats, every time they get the floor, they're just out there. We need to go over here. We need to do this. They're just trying to stall and run out the clock here. And unfortunately, because of the start of this broadcast, I had to turn it off. But I'm sure somebody would be posting the highlights later on YouTube or something like that. So anyway, the U.S. Attorney for Utah, John Huber, didn't testify. And Meadows had wanted to quiz Huber on whether any of the Clinton Foundation's tax-exempt money was used for personal gain. Now, Huber was assigned to investigate this, and this was when he was supposed to present his final report. And now he isn't. And the House Oversight Committee, as well as all the other House panels, transferred to Democratic control end of next month because of the midterm elections, which means this is all going to go away. They're just going to run out the clock. And Huber's spokeswoman confirmed that Huber wouldn't testify. No reason given. Just, nope, not going to do it. Apparently, there was another witness that was a no-show, supposedly because of a death in the family. No explanation given there. So, again, looking at how hard they're trying to protect the Clinton Foundation and its links to the email server and Uranium One. Yeah, there is something really, really ugly behind it all, and I think I know what it is here. Anyway, Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch was testifying and presented information on the pay-to-play and the Uranium One scandals, and apparently he stated right there, he has been hampered by the fact that the Department of Justice routinely refuses to turn over requested documents, and that Judicial Watch has to keep going back to court and having a judge order the documents to be turned over. Again, another indicator something really nasty has been covered up there. Now, the feds have been secretly holding on to 6,000 pages of whistleblower documents coming out of the Clinton Foundation that claimed the foundation engaged in misappropriation of funds. Donors were assured they could count on favors from Hillary Clinton, who, while she was Secretary of State. And apparently there was this whistleblower submission filed secretly more than a year ago with the IRS and the FBI. which is where we get back to that Democratic argument. Well, if they're not doing anything, obviously the Clintons, you know, are innocent. The Clintons have got Washington, D.C. by the short and curlies. Even Israel doesn't have that kind of control over them. Okay, let's turn back over to the yellow vest protests. Accusations are coming on out that the police this last weekend were deliberately shooting the protesters. They weren't firing over the heads. It wasn't just the tear gas. They were actually shooting. Apparently, one of the protesters lost an eye. She says she's convinced the police deliberately targeted her. Okay. Now, Macron did survive his no confidence vote earlier today, and I'm sure he's feeling very smug about that. And so I don't know that he's out of the woods yet. The protests are going to continue here. There was a yellow vest protest up in Canada, and people are starting to wonder, could this go global next spring? And I think, yeah, it might just do that. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, the yellow vests have put out an official list of 25 demands, at which point they'll end the crisis, okay? And the resignation of Macron did not make this cut. They dropped that one. But they want the general state of the tax system to be repaired, amend the Constitution to prevent the state from taking more than 25% of the income of citizens. Increase of 40% in the basic pension and social welfare programs. Massive hiring increase in the public sector to reestablish the public services. Trains, hospitals, schools, postal services. A lot of that stuff got cut back. They want the construction of 5 million rent-controlled housing units throughout France to lower the rents. They want the banking monopolies ended. Good luck on that one. They want the too-big-to-fail banks broken up. And they want to separate regular banking from investment banking, which is a good idea. That's what Glass-Steagall was all about here in the United States of America. A hard lesson learned in the crash of 1929. And then some years ago, the bankers went to Congress and said, look, we won't make the same mistakes again. Just repeal Glass-Steagall. And it was done. And the problem when you have investment banks and commercial banks working together is that very often the customer's money from the commercial side of the banks winds up being invested in highly speculative and risky investments on the investment side. And that's what a big part of what happened back in 2008. They want a complete prohibition on taxpayer-funded bank bailouts. And they want all debts accrued through usurious rates of interest to be wiped out. And there's more on here. They want the Constitution rewritten for the people and national sovereignty. They want referendums to vote on popular initiatives. They want limits on lobbying. It's a very good list. We could actually use a lot of this stuff here. Now, some of it's getting a little silly. They want to prohibit the marketing of plastic bottles and other pollutions. And they definitely want to weaken the influence of big pharma on health in general and hospitals in particular. They want a ban on all GMO. They want a ban on carcinogenic pesticides, and we know who they're talking about with that one. And, of course, they want the borders closed. So it's a big, long list, and I wished them luck. Now, a little bit of news. This was just breaking as we went to air. Sheriff Chakot, who was the Strasbourg Christmas market shooter, has been killed. And apparently he was killed in the Neudorf neighborhood of the city following a counter-terror operation launched on Thursday evening, according to the French police. Now, I'm glad they got this guy. What he did was terrible, but it's going to make things a little more difficult for Macron. because he was planning on using that threat of more Christmas shootings to try and discourage the yellow vests from taking to the streets this weekend again. Well, that's now gone. And it's not just France. Apparently over in Hungary, there are major riots going on regarding the new legislation coming from the EU, the labor law. It's a very controversial labor law. They're demanding Orban to scrap this law. They're calling it a slave law. And so far, they've blocked a major bridge, waving flags and placards. The new law basically triggered furious letters to EU figureheads Jean-Claude Juncker, Donald Tusk, Antonio Tajani, all in the same EPP coalition in the European Parliament with Mr. Orban. I'm sorry, Orban. It's a typo in the original article. So they're up in arms as well. Everybody's getting ready to riot. Everybody, this could go global. I have been saying it all along. This push to create a global government creates a political environment conducive to a global revolution. So moving on here to the war zones, of which there are many. Turkey is now threatening the U.S.-backed Kurdish forces with a new operation in northern Syria. And apparently during the Turkish Defense Industry Summit on the 12th, President Erdogan said the Turkish armed forces will launch an operation east of the Euphrates in a few days to save it from a separatist terrorist organization. And he slammed the U.S. plan to establish observation posts along the Syria-Turkey border. And basically said, it is clear the purpose of these observation points in Syria is not to protect our country from terrorists, but to protect the terrorists from Turkey. But apparently Erdogan really believes that he can pull this off regardless of the risk. And claims are being made that 15,000 of the rebels may back Turkey's operation in northeastern Syria. So that's a serious conflict. Meanwhile, over at the Pentagon, they have a different view. Turkish unilateral action in northeast Syria would be unacceptable. And they're saying Ankara should consult with the United States to address the security situation. Well, Turkey has been addressing the situation with the United States and nothing ever gets done. So the Pentagon is out there. A Defense Department spokesperson, Commander Sean Robertson, is saying that unilateral military action in northeast Syria by any party, particularly as U.S. personnel may be present or in the vicinity, is of grave concern. Now, they're calling for coordination and consultation between the U.S. and Turkey. Turkey might refuse. Are we going to go to war with Turkey? Meanwhile, the Russian military has moved the S-300 air defense system near the front lines of the U.S. coalition forces in eastern Syria. So the Russians are concerned of possible renewed U.S. strikes into Syria. Now, the other day, Mike Pompeo came on out screaming and frothing at the mouth about Iran testing a new ballistic missile that was capable of hitting Europe. And Iran has basically come on out and said, yeah, that's what we did. We test fired this medium range ballistic missile. We test them to make sure they work properly, which, by the way, the Russians had one of their test missiles blow up just off the launch pad in Kapustin Yar. Now, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says the United States is complicit in the crimes the Saudi regime has been committing in a years-long war against the people of Yemen. And addressing the families of Iranian martyrs in a meeting in Tehran, Khamenei pointed out the Saudi regime's failures in the war it's been waging against Yemen with Washington's support. One of the failures is the fact they thought it was going to be over in just a couple of months. Saudis thought they would gain control of Yemen in a matter of days or weeks, but the further they go, the harder they will fall down, and the more stinging will be the blow that they receive. Now, the U.S. Senate has now voted to end U.S. support for the Saudi war in Yemen. This is seen as punishment for the murder of the Washington Post reporter Khashoggi. And it's unfortunately a largely symbolic vote because the bill is not expected to pass in the House of Representatives. But the Arabic language website of Sputnik is quoting well-informed sources as disclosing that 400 non-Syrian terrorists have arrived in Idlib through Turkey's southern border with Syria in the last 2 months. It said they'd arrived in the region from where Yemen crossed this was badly. Basically, what they're saying is hundreds of terrorists are leaving Yemen for the northern Syria battlefields. So things are just heating up over there. Now, a little bit of good news, at least for the moment. Yemen's warring parties have agreed to a ceasefire in the city of Hodeidah. United Nations Secretary General Guterres has announced this in Sweden. And he said the agreement included the deployment of neutral forces and the establishment of humanitarian corridors. I think Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman just blinked. And I think it's a good thing. Okay, story coming out of Press TV, quoting Mostafa Korsheshim, who's a journalist and political commentator, saying that the reason the United States is supporting Saudi Arabia is to make it a gendarme of the region, at which point they can sell more and more guns to the Saudis. So basically, the United States wants the Middle East in tension. They want it destabilized. They do not want things calm because that's good for the armament sale here. Over in Israel, Israeli soldiers accompanied by Jewish settlers broke into the northern West Bank village and archaeological site of Sebastia yesterday, which led to a confrontation with the village's Palestinian residents. And basically, these soldiers accompanied a busload of settlers in a very provocative visit to the site. And while they were there, soldiers fired tear gas and stun grenades into the village. Now, the settlers are saying this is just tourism, but it's a closed site. It's not supposed to be open to tourism. But apparently, this is becoming a regular thing that they're doing. Israel's parliament has rejected a draft bill affirming citizens' rights to equality. Now, report by Israeli activist Yossi Gurvitz from Mondo Weiss, the Knesset voted down the bill by 71 to 38. And basically, the bill just said the state of Israel shall maintain equal political rights amongst all of its citizens without any difference between religions, race, and sex. In other words, apartheid is now legal in Israel. This one's a little bit silly. Back on the 25th of November, Israeli forces detained a six-year-old Palestinian child and detained him for an hour without family members present. Anyway, yesterday we were talking about this story where it has come on out that Israelis were disguising themselves as aid workers to get inside the Gaza Strip to cover up assassinations or to conduct assassinations. And more details are beginning to surface, but apparently these disguised aid workers tried to drive into Gaza. And the Hamas security men stopped them and asked them questions, and the answers did not add up. A shootout then ensued. We're going to take a break here for commercials. We'll be back after these few words.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
And aloha, Mirka. Welcome back to our show. We're talking about events down in Israel. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu basically said Israel would not rule out undertaking military action inside Iran. And Netanyahu was asked what his red line would be for attacking Iranian territory rather than just the Iranian proxies alleged to be operating in Syria. And Netanyahu said, our red line is our survival. I'm not ruling out doing anything that we need to do to defend ourselves. We do what is necessary to protect the state of Israel against the Iranian regime, which openly calls for the annihilation of the Jewish state, which, by the way, that's a lie. Remember when Ahmadinejad was in office and they came on out and said, oh, he said he wants to wipe Israel from the face of the earth or wipe Israel from the map. That's not what he said. He actually said Israel will fade from the pages of history, which is a very passive statement. Unfortunately, a lot of what you hear about Israel, or the Middle East rather, comes through an organization called MEMRI, the Middle East Media Reporting Institute, which provides free translations of Arab news articles to the Western media. But MEMRI is a propaganda front for Israel, and the translations are always faulty and skewed. to present a very negative image of what's going on in these other countries here. Now, interestingly enough, there was a report leaked from Creative Community for Peace, which is a front for the Israel government-backed lobby group Stand With Us, that admits the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is being effective, and it is growing, and they even described it as innovative. So, hitting them right where it hurts in their wallets here. Okay, Angela Merkel came on out the other day and said Germany might be willing to up sanctions on Russia because of the Kerch incident. But apparently the German foreign ministry, the head of the foreign ministry, Heiko Maas, is saying that no, Germany has no interest in new anti-Russia sanctions. Of course, Merkel's on her way out anyway. They're already searching for a replacement. Apparently, she will not last till the end of her term. Earlier in the week, we reported on these stories about how Kiev is getting ready to launch a massive attack into Donbass. One report said it's going to happen tomorrow on the 14th. And we're getting a confirmation now from Russia Today, which says Kiev may start a major offensive in the east within days. They're not nailing it down to a particular day. But the Ukrainian military has amassed troops in Kiev-controlled eastern parts of the country, citing reports from international monitors. And there are reports that within several days, Kiev will stage an armed provocation on the contact line. This is from Maria Zakharova. So that's going to be cranking up as well. There was an interesting analysis that came out of Russia Insider saying that the enmity between Ukrainians and Russians is artificial. It's manufactured by the West, by propaganda, and basically they're saying it goes all the way back to when the Soviet Union wanted to incorporate Ukraine. Now, Ukraine used to be an independent nation, and it is once again, and they wanted to bring it into the socialist empire. So, a lot of hostility out there. Another article, this one also from Russia Insider, don't let Ukraine drag America into the war. And it says, Ukraine's behavior in the Kerch Strait is another example of a U.S. ally trying to gain American military backing for its own parochial agenda. Now, if you'll remember back in 2008, Georgia tried to do that regarding its territorial dispute with Russia over two secessionist regions, Abkhazia and South Ossetia. And a European Union-sponsored report subsequently concluded that Georgia started the fighting that broke out in August of that year. Our media said, oh, Russia bad, Russia bad, Russia bad. And there is little doubt that Georgian President Saakashvili expected to get much stronger support from the U.S. and NATO than he ultimately reserved. Saudi Arabia routinely tries to entangle the United States in Riyadh's regional power struggles with Tehran, although there are a lot of people in Tehran, or rather in Washington, who would want to go along for that. And, of course, we have the U.S. military support for the war in Yemen. Okay, now, getting on back to this situation with China and everybody getting detained. Apparently, there's been a second Canadian detained. More about that when we come back from commercials.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about a second Canadian citizen being detained in China. This is businessman Michael Spavor, who worked with North Korea. And apparently he's being investigated on suspicion of harming China's security, which is kind of a broad brush to paint with here. And so the situation is building. Canada's been unable to contact Spavor since he notified the government that he was being questioned by the Chinese authorities. So things are getting very, very tense there. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
You know, I find amazing how, well, Ukraine's afraid, like back in the day, the Soviet Union was going to swallow them up, or But like, you look now, like, all these countries are willing to, like, let the EU and NATO take over them. I mean, it's just bizarre, you know, like...
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's just crazy, like, and when they come in, like, when you join the EU, you can't leave. Like the guy Sonny from Bronx, now you can't leave. You know, they won't let you leave to put sanction on you. You know, it's like a relative that comes over and he won't leave. You know, I mean,
I don't know. In this case, it's a case of the relative comes on over and you lock the door on him. you know, which is obviously what Brussels is trying to do to Great Britain.
Remember that movie Red Dawn, one of the Soviet Union, like it was Russia, well, part the Soviet Union, Cuba, and Nicaragua invaded the U.S. You look at like it's like Blue Dawn, what we got going on, you know, like around the world. We got all these military bases. I mean, basically, isn't this like a stealth? Basically, NATO's a stealth invasion with the EU right behind them, right? I mean, that's what it is. Set up shop,
well,
and they don't leave.
NATO's invasion isn't very stealthy, but definitely the EU. I mean, EU is, if you look at the map, they're basically recapturing control of all the territories of Europe that the Nazis wanted.
Yep. And you know, Mike, I don't know if people know this, but not only is NATO located in Brussels, right, Belgium, but so is the IMF. So the debt is right behind it, right? I mean, that's it. You know, like they'll put you into debt slavery. Like,
yes.
You know, with Ukraine, we'll let you borrow all this money. We know you can't repay it. So you're going to have to sell us your land or this or that, your companies or this or that. You know, it's all a big scam. You know, hey, Mike, on related news, you know, I don't know if you heard this, but Russia, there's a battalion of 2S7. That's the motorized howitzers, or they're 203 millimeter. Those are trains headed somewhere, and it's probably headed toward their base, like, you know, 11 miles from the border. I mean, you know, they don't have to put them that close because they shoot pretty far. But yeah, so you got motorized artillery headed over there. So, and you know, it's funny, the Ukraine, even, I mean, like Trump saying, you know, we're not going to tell you our plan. Well, the Ukraine's already said they're going to, like, do something. So they already televised it, basically. I mean, it's totally stupid. But I keep saying, Mike, because I'm, you know, my family's from Ukraine. They're going to run. They don't have, like I said, they don't have that. They don't know what they are in Ukraine. It's a very mixed up.
They're not motivated. They're not motivated.
Yeah.
They don't have the moral law on their side. You know, go back and read your Sun Tzu.
And it's not going very good in Ukraine. I mean, because, you know, with the gas price increases over there, and it's rough over there. And, you know, they don't like Poroshenko because that's why he's got an 8% approval rate. So
yeah.
That's all I needed to, wanted to tell you, Mike. Have a good show.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. Now, getting on back to the growing friction with China, a few days ago, Cisco advised its employees to avoid non-essential travel to China. China protested. Cisco said the message was sent out erroneously. But now China has returned the favor. And Chinese researchers working in sensitive high-tech sectors have been warned not to take any unnecessary trips to the United States as unease grows in the business community following the arrest of a tech executive in Canada. So we may be seeing the beginning of this, let's go snatch each other's scientists. Okay, anyway, workers at a research agency who can't avoid crossing the Pacific were also told that if they did have to travel to the U.S., they should remove any sensitive information from their mobile phones and laptops. Definitely should do that. Apparently, TSA is really starting to get into more and more cell phones and tablets. It used to be an occasional thing. Now it's just becoming very regular. They're just scanning everybody's cell phones and laptops and snarfing up the information. Over in Korea, a little bit of history was made yesterday when soldiers from North and South Korea peacefully crossed the demilitarized zone for the first time ever. You know, obviously symbolic gesture, but once again, it suggests that Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in are really seriously thinking about reunification of Korea. That would put a real dent in U.S. plans for that area. Down in Venezuela, President Maduro has accused the U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton of preparing a plot to assassinate him, and has also called out Colombian leader Ivan Duque as Bolton's accomplice. So it may sound paranoid, but if you look back at the history of how the United States has interfered in Venezuela, it's not that outlandish. Don't forget Hugo Chavez. There was actually a U.S. organized coup d'etat that drove him for power for exactly 1 week. Anyway, getting on back to Germany. Angela Merkel has announced her resignation as head of the Christian Democratic Union Party, and she has said she will not run for another term as chancellor. And in December, the CDU elected a new head, Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, who's considered to be Merkel's protege and eventual replacement. Now, there is talk here that Merkel may resign from her post in favor of Annegret and leave in midterm, which I'm sure would be cause for much celebration. All right, let's get on to Julian Assange here, because there was always something wanky about that statement that Ecuador had written assurances from Great Britain that they would not extradite Julian Assange to any place where he might face the death penalty. And even Julian Assange came on out and said, I'm not buying this one. Well, down in Ecuador, they're sort of shuffling their feet and saying that Quito cannot guarantee that London would not extradite Assange to a third country. This is coming from Ecuadorian President General Iñigo Salvador. And they go back to say, Ecuador has received the written guarantees, but that's really all that we can do. So, what's he been in there now? 6 going on 7 years? It really is insane. And it really is part of this attack on the right of the people to know what the government is doing with their money here. All right, over at Sean Hannity, he's out there on TV and he's saying indictments are coming for the Clintons. And he basically said the hammer's about to fall. He told his guests Sarah Carter, John Solomon, and Greg Jarrett that he had it on good authority that indictments were about to be issued. I wish it were true. But if I am correct on what lies behind the Hillary Clinton email server, which was espionage, and if enough politicians were dipping into that Clinton Foundation, I'm sorry, Sean, I don't think anything's going to happen. I don't think anything's going to come out of these hearings today. The Clintons are absolutely untouchable. Back in 2016, during the campaign, when all of this stuff was being brought on up, it was reported that Hillary Clinton literally said that if she was brought down, she'd bring down the entire government with her, and this is a lady who can do it. Now, Miles Honig, he's a former Green Party candidate for Congress, and he was being interviewed on Press TV, basically saying that Donald Trump cannot handle the reality that's overcoming his presidency, and he's losing his hold on the presidency. And he was responding to where Trump had come on out saying he's not going to be impeached. It's hard to impeach somebody who hasn't done anything wrong and who's created the greatest economy in the history of our country. There's a Pinocchio for you there, Donald. And he said this with an interview with Reuters. And then he went on to say that I think the people would revolt if he were impeached. Donald, I don't think you are as popular now as you were in January of 2017. That's unfortunately the reality. As far as not being impeached for not doing anything, they'll come up with something. Nancy Pelosi is already out there saying they're going to go after his taxes. They're out to get him. You know, it's a street brawl. Washington, D.C. has degenerated into a biker bar, and there's a brawl going on here. All right, getting on to the White House. Congressman Mark Meadows is no longer being considered for the White House Chief of Staff. This came from Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, and went on to say Meadows is a great friend of the president, is doing an incredible job in Congress, and the president told him we need him in Congress so he can continue the great work he is doing there. Well, I don't know about the great work, because it doesn't look like he pushed all that hard at today's House Oversight Committee meeting. Now, New York's incoming attorney general on Tuesday has promised to persecute Donald Trump, his entire family, and anyone in his orbit by hunting for crimes to charge them with. He's literally out there declaring war, that he's going to use every area of the law to get Donald Trump. We're going to get him. That's a terrible mindset for a government to be operating on right now. Looking at this morning's hearing and looking at the behavior of the Democrats versus the Republicans are too gentle. They're almost too mature. The Democrats are out there with a bare-knuckle fight. Now, here's an article that came on out from Vox.com. Let me read you the headline verbatim. It's ridiculous that it's unconstitutional for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to run for president. And this article is just this incredible puff piece on Alexandria, how she's the biggest star in the Democratic Party and has been ever since she unseated Representative Joe Crowley in the surprise primary upset in May. And so Alexandria is already looking at the White House. She's in her first term in Congress. She's inexperienced, and already she's looking at the White House. I wonder if she's going to declare for 2020, except, of course, that she can't because she doesn't meet the age restriction. And this article is putting out a trial bulletin about saying, oh, we don't need to pay attention to that. In fact, there was another article that came on out where liberals are saying, you know, anybody should be allowed to run for president. Immigrants, students, you know, anybody. These restrictions in the Constitution are really rather ridiculous. No, they're not. The reason for the requirement for a natural-born citizen is so that this country does not fall under foreign rule. The requirement for the age restriction is to guarantee that only people of a certain maturity get into that Oval Office. Okay. Now, speaking of trial balloons, this one actually got coverage on the corporate media. Representative Ted Lieu, a Democrat out of California, came on out with a statement, I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. The First Amendment prevents me from doing so. And he went on and rambled on about, you know, the Constitution, blah, 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 blah. But I think this is a trial balloon. You know, we've been seeing censorship all over the independent media. We know that Congress is still trying to stick that provision into the spending bill to criminalize criticism of Israel. They want freedom of speech to go away. And this may be a trial balloon. They're going to wait and see how people react to this. If they get a shrug, then they figure, yeah, we can go after the First Amendment the way we've gone after the Second Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Eighth Amendment, the Ninth Amendment, and the Tenth Amendment. That's a very, very dangerous thing for somebody to be saying. If you don't have free speech, you do not have freedom. Free speech is an absolute. If there are any limits on it, then it isn't free speech, it's permitted speech. Now, here's a little bit of good news. As you know, there was a big scandal that came out earlier in the year, how Congress kept this slush fund, if you will, filled with U.S. taxpayer dollars that they would pay out to settle lawsuits involving sexual harassment by members of Congress against their staff. Well, apparently they decided they were going to end that. And there was actually a bipartisan agreement. Members of Congress will now have to pay these settlements out of their own pockets. And I think that might slow down the amount of harassment. All right, let's take a phone call. Art off the grid. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, you know, you're talking about the occasional cortex there. First of all, let's understand the constitutional requirements no longer apply. So says the great and wonderful, all-knowing, all-wise Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Okay, well, listen, Art, I got to put you on hold. Do not hang up, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Art from Off the Grid. And Art, would you go back and repeat what you were telling us about Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
You said you had made mention about the constitutional requirements for being president. Well, I don't think those constitutional requirements can really apply anymore. I mean, after all, we've got people like the great illustrious you know, all wiser than the rest of us, Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself, who said it was outdated. It was outside of the times that we live in today. It really shouldn't be considered. I mean, when you have people like that who sit on the Supreme Court who think that little of the Constitution, why the hell should any of us care whether or not the next candidate for the president is, you know, constitutionally meets the requirements or not? I mean, after all, look at Obama. There's another perfect example of never met. And on the topic of comparing the two,
hold it. Let's back up. What about Obama did not meet the constitutional requirements?
I'm still not convinced that he was born in Hawaii, okay?
Well, living here in Hawaii, I've confirmed that he absolutely was, and his real father was Frank Marshall Davis, and that was the reason for the rigged-up phony birth certificate. Now, but of course, remember, they tried to run Ted Cruz in 2016, and he's not a natural-born citizen. So, yeah, they want to chip away at all of that. Now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg can express that opinion, but the job of the Supreme Court is limited to examining laws and comparing them against that Constitution to see if they conform, because that Constitution is the ultimate law of the land. Now, if they want to change that Constitution, there is a process called amendment where they could go on in and say, we're going to have an amendment to lower the minimum age for the presidency from 35 down to, whatever age Alexandria is right now. But it has to go through Congress, it has to be signed by the president, and it has to be ratified by 3/4 of the states.
Right. But what really got my attention, what it was, the thing that you said that really got my attention was, in her first term, she's an unknown. Who does this sound like? You know, we had Barack Obama, first term, unknown, didn't do anything, never accomplished anything, but yet made it to the presidency. Is it he was set up to be the first, they keep saying African American, but he's a half and half. They set him up to make history. Is it possible that maybe what we're seeing here, if she is eyeballing the White House already, could this be setting the stage to make history again?
It's arrogant in the extreme. And she's a member of the House, and Obama, if I recall correctly, was actually a senator.
Right.
So, you know, Alexandria's got a long way to go to prove that she's got the chops to even consider being president. She is the darling of the Democratic Party. There's no question about that. And I'm sure that Hillary's probably gritting her teeth over the fact that Alexandria might take that coveted first woman president of the United States position. But she's going to have to wait to do it, because unless they amend that Constitution, Alexandria cannot run in 2020. Anyway, Art, we got to let you go. We got to take a station identification break, and we will be right back.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.